Thanks to Greg and the whole Kipper team and the entertaining and also important work they do. You see, I think of you all the time, Greg. And we're back with this evening's Evening Under Lamplight with me, Robert Louis Abrahamson, on Cambridge 105 Community Radio in your city. Find the archived shows on SoundCloud or on our newly resuscitated website, which goes like this, momentsunderlamplight.co.uk. And get in touch with me at rla@momentsunderlamplight.co.uk, or we give you a choice at lamplight@cambridge105.fm. So you're invited to attend to this week's show, which I've called A Perpetual Journey. That's a phrase from our Whitman reading. We're coming ever closer to the end of Whitman's Song of Myself, attending this evening to chant number 46 out of 52. Chant 46 is one of the clearest parts of the poem, I think, and also perhaps the most friendly, as Whitman seems relaxed with his readers and reaches out a helping hand, even though he also admits that his help can go only so far. We have to make our own perpetual journey by ourselves. But we all knew that beforehand, didn't we? At some level, right? So here's what I'd like to do. Let's start off reading the Whitman passage and discussing it, then pick up on the image of the perpetual journey and spend time with this metaphor of our lives as journeys. Lots to say about that, but we can only attend to a few bits. Leading into the reading, let's have an upbeat song about journeys, or taking to the road. Here's Andy Stewart's song, The Summer Road. Answering the hill's call to come away, come away. It's a bit scratchy, digitized from an old LP my father bought for me when I was about 15. The album is called Bonnie Ballads of the Highlands, but certainly this song, and in fact most of the others, are not really Highland songs at all, but never mind. Here's old Andy Stewart, full of energy, and after him we move to Manhattan for Walt Whitman.
Let us leave the city where the black smoke blows. When the wind comes calling, let us go, go, go. It's the west wind calling, it's the wind that's free. Come away and wander on the road with me. Then give us a road that stretches far, by the moor of Rannoch or by dark Lochnagar, by the glens of Angus or by Deeside Fair. On the road of summer you will find us there. Shoulder up your bundles, throw away your cares. There's no place for worries on the highway there. When the sun is dawning with the promise gay and the hills are calling, come away, come away. Then give us a road that stretches far, by the moor of Rannoch or by dark Lochnagar, by the glens of Angus or by Deeside Fair. On the road of summer you will find us there. There's a thousand roads and we shall walk them all, till the songbirds leave us and the white snows fall. Then we'll dream all winter of the great spring day, when the wind shall call us, come away, come away. Then give us a road that stretches far, by the moor of Rannoch or by dark Lochnagar, by the glens of Angus or by Deeside Fair. On the road of summer you will find us there. On the road of summer you will find us there.
I know I have the best of time and space, and that I was never measured and never will be measured. I tramp a perpetual journey. My signs are a rainproof coat and good shoes and a staff cut from the woods. No friend of mine takes his ease in my chair. I have no chair, nor church, nor philosophy. I lead no man to a dinner table or library or exchange. But each man and each woman of you I lead upon a knoll, My left hand hooks you round the waist. My right hand points to the landscapes of continents and a plain public road. Not I, not anyone else, can travel that road for you. You must travel it for yourself. It is not far. It is within reach. Perhaps you have been on it since you were born and did not know. Perhaps it is everywhere, on water and on land. Shoulder your duds, and I will mine, and let us hasten forth. Wonderful cities and free nations we shall fetch as we go. If you tire, give me both burdens, and rest the chuff of your hand on my hip. And in due time you shall repay the same service to me. For after we start, we never lie by again. This day, before dawn, I ascended a hill and looked at the crowded heaven, and I said to my spirit, when we become the enfolders of those orbs and the pleasure and knowledge of everything in them, shall we then be filled and satisfied? And my spirit said, no. We level that lift to pass and continue beyond. You are also asking me questions, and I hear you. I answer that I cannot answer. You must find out for yourself. Sit a while, wayfarer. Here are biscuits to eat, and here is milk to drink. But as soon as you sleep and renew yourself in sweet clothes, I will certainly kiss you with my goodbye kiss and open the gate for your egress hence. Long enough have you dreamed contemptible dreams. Now I wash the gum from your eyes. You must habit yourself to the dazzle of the light and of every moment of your life. Long have you timidly waded, holding a plank by the shore. Now I will you to be a bold swimmer, to jump off in the midst of the sea, and rise again, and nod to me, and shout, and laughingly dash with your hair.
Something deep inside of me keeps me moving aimlessly. I've always been, I'll always be a lonely traveling man. Something that I can't explain molded me from wind and rain. Wild and free and hard to tame. A lonely traveling man. Traveling man, traveling man. Got no goal, got no plan. Just in the no plan.
That was Stevie Wonder's Travelin' Man, a song that does not feature much, I think, in the Stevie Wonder legend. But it was the background music to many journeys we all used to make. It's part of that old idealization of traveling on the road, tired and worn out, but spirit still high. Whitman was an early voice of this mystique, as later was Woody Guthrie and even Bilbo Baggins. Well, okay. As a special tribute to Andrew Abbey of Liverpool, I really do have to play The Road Goes Ever On, don't I? Here's a beautiful version, approved by the Tolkien estate, in fact, performed by Broceliande on their album Starlit Jewel.
Roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea, over snow by winter sown, and through the merry flowers of June, over grass and over stone, and under mountains in the moon.
Roads go ever, ever on, under cloud and under star, yet feet that wandering have gone turn at last to home afar. Eyes that fire and sword have seen, and horror in the halls of stone, look at last on meadows green, and trees and hills they long have known. Roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea, over snow by winter sown, and through the merry flowers of June, over grass and over stone, and under mountains in the moon.
Wandering have gone, eyes that fire and sword have seen, and eyes that fire and sword of stone, and o'er in the meadows green, and trees and hills they long have green, and trees and hills they long have known. Roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea, over snow by winter sown, and through the merry flowers of June, over grass and over stone, and under mountains in the moon, under mountains in the moon.
Well, what do you think of that? It was Ernest Kinsolving and Christoph Clover, and I think they were performing as part of the Celtic folk group Broceliande, though I'm not sure, but I think it captures the Tolkien spirit. But remember Whitman? Let's go back and see what we might make of our Whitman reading. Last time we discussed the way the poet Walt Whitman creates a mythic figure called Walt Whitman, one of the roughs, the hero of the long poem Song of Myself. In this week's section, Whitman portrays that mythic Whitman as one who tramps a perpetual journey. He has relinquished all possessions, not just physical possessions, a chair to welcome us, but also all associations that would limit his scope, all churches and all philosophies. All he has with him is the equipment for his journey, a rainproof coat and good shoes and a staff cut from the woods. He says he will lead each man and each woman of you up to a knoll or a rise in the ground. With his left hand hooked around your waist, his right hand points to landscapes of continents and a plain public road. That knoll is, I suppose we could say, the poem itself, which, as we read it, raises us above our ordinary pathways and shows us a vision of all the possibilities that lie before us as we, too, make our perpetual journey. It's tempting, though, feeble as we are at tramping around, to ask this wise man, Whitman, to go on the road with us, or go on it for us. But no, as all spiritual teachers must tell their followers, not I, not anyone else can travel the road for you. You must travel it for yourself. You must travel it for yourself. Tough words, but we know they're true. And in fact, just as I was preparing the show, what should pop up on Facebook but this passage from Ram Dass? The spiritual journey is individual, highly personal. It can't be organized or regulated. It isn't true that everyone should follow one path. Listen to your own truth. If we have Walt Whitman and Ram Dass both telling us something, it's good to take heed. At this point, I want to turn to a song that has been, for some reason, running through my head this week. A song that I suddenly realized was perfectly fitting for this moment of the poem. It's one of Ray Davies' solo tracks from the album Working Man's Cafe. It seems to be a song in response to all the people who must, all the time, be coming up to Ray Davies, veteran 60s rock star, asking him for advice on how to plod their own road to rock stardom. But no point asking me, because I haven't got a clue. The words are pretty pedestrian, but maybe that's the point. When we get behind his mask, his persona, he's just some ordinary guy from North London with no especial wisdom. What does he know about our journey? You're asking me, will it be all right? Because I've been around, I have the insight, and I was there the first time, so I must know what it's like. If you're asking me, don't take my advice. Do we learn from all the questions that we ask? Do we listen to the past? We never do. It's up to you to go and make your own mistakes. Have a go and break a leg, but please don't come home crying when you do. You're asking me, don't take my advice. Because I've been there before, doesn't come to pass that I have all the answers to the questions that you ask. I'm telling you because you're asking me. Anyway, what am I supposed to say? Could say everything is really brilliant. Anything to make your worries disappear, put your consciences in the clear, and make you think there's nothing left to fear. You're asking me, what's it leading to? Will we live a long life? Will it treat us fair? No point asking me, because I wasn't even there. First time round, it was really grand, but inside, something said to me, go get a life. Get a life. And now that I'm here, I can't understand why anyone is asking me if I could give a damn. The real power of the song comes from the driving energy, the anger even, and the resentment he feels at being turned into some sort of sage. Here's the song.
You're asking me, what's it leading to? Will we live a long life? Will it treat us fair? No point asking me because I haven't got a clue. You're asking me, will it be alright? If you're asking me, don't take my advice. And don't make me responsible for you living your life. I could say there will be laughter, you will never cry. I could just as easily go tell a lie, couldn't I? That would be unwise. If that's what you really want, then get alive, get alive. so I must know what it's like. If you're asking me, don't take my advice. Do we learn from all the questions that we ask? Do we listen to the past? We never do. It's up to you to go and make your own mistakes. Have a go and break a leg, but please don't come home crying when you do. You're asking me, don't take my advice. Because I've been there before, doesn't come to pass that I have all the answers to the questions that you ask. I'm telling you because you're asking me. Anyway, what am I supposed to say? Could say everything is really brilliant. Anything to make your worries disappear, put your conscience in the clear, and make you think there's nothing left to fear. You're asking me, what's it leading to? Will we live a long life? Will it treat us fair? No point asking me because I wasn't even there. First time around, it was really grand, but inside something said to me, go get a life, get a life. Understand why anyone is asking me if we could give a damn. I could say there will be laughter, you will never cry. I could just as easily go tell a lie. Couldn't I then? What would come after? That would be unwise. If that's what you really want, then get a life, get a life, get a life. If you're asking me, don't take my advice.
Ray Davis, you're asking me. Contrast that harshness to Whitman's gentleness. Whitman, too, tells us he cannot travel our road for us, but notice how quietly and reassuringly he tells us that we are closer to the path than we think. It is not far. It is within reach. Perhaps you have been on it since you were born and did not know. Perhaps it is everywhere, on water and on land. And if he cannot travel the path for us, at least he can come along with us part of the way. Shoulder your duds, he says. What a buddy he is, throwing around slang like duds. Shoulder your duds, and I will mine, and let us hasten forth. Wonderful cities and free nations we shall fetch as we go. If you tire, give me both burdens, and rest the chuff of your hand on my hip, and in due time you shall repay the same service to me. For after we start, we never lie by again. In other words, the journey never ends. And then in a kind of echo of Ray Davis, but with a difference, Whitman hears the questions we are asking him and offers not a brusque rejection, but a momentary consolation before urging us forward on the road. You are asking me questions, and I hear you. I answer that I cannot answer. You must find out for yourself. But stay a while, wayfarer. Here are biscuits to eat, and here is milk to drink. I love this. It's so homely. But as soon as you sleep and renew yourself in sweet clothes, I will certainly kiss you with my goodbye kiss and open the gate for your egress hence. Long enough have you dreamed contemptible dreams. Now I wash the gum from your eyes. You must habit yourself to the dazzle of the light and of every moment of your life. Long have you timidly waded, holding a plank by the shore. Now I will you to be a bold swimmer, to jump off in the midst of the sea, and rise again, and nod to me, and shout, and laughingly dash with your hair. This is actually a pretty clear section of the poem, but I love the variations of voice here, especially the colloquial and confiding tone. So I'm going to read the section one more time, just for the fun of it. also perhaps so it can work upon us further and inspire us farther as we too jump off in the midst of our own sea. And after all, it's one of the chief characteristics of great art that we can come back to it over and over and each time catch something new from it. I know I have the best of time and space, and that I was never measured and never will be measured. I tramp a perpetual journey. My signs are a rainproof coat and good shoes and a staff cut from the woods. No friend of mine takes his ease in my chair. I have no chair, nor church, nor philosophy. I lead no man to a dinner table or library or exchange. But each man and each woman of you I lead upon a knoll. My left hand hooks you round the waist. My right hand points to landscapes of continents and a plain public road. Not I, not anyone else can travel that road for you. You must travel it for yourself. It is not far. It is within reach. Perhaps you have been on it since you were born and did not know. Perhaps it is everywhere on water and on land. Shoulder your duds, and I will mine, and let us hasten forth. Wonderful cities and free nations we shall fetch as we go. If you tire, give me both burdens, and rest the chuff of your hand on my hip. And in due time, you shall repay the same service to me, for after we start, we never lie by again. This day before dawn, I ascended a hill and looked at the crowded heaven, and I said to my spirit, when we become the enfolders of these orbs and the pleasure and knowledge of everything in them, shall we be filled and satisfied then? And my spirit said, no, we level that lift to pass and continue beyond. You are also asking me questions, and I hear you. I answer that I cannot answer. You must find out for yourself. Sit a while, wayfarer. Here are biscuits to eat, and here is milk to drink. But as soon as you sleep and renew yourself in sweet clothes, I will certainly kiss you with my goodbye kiss and open the gate for your egress hence. Long enough have you dreamed contemptible dreams. Now I wash the gum from your eyes. You must habit yourself to the dazzle of the light and of every moment of your life. Long have you timidly waded, holding a plank by the shore. Now I will you to be a bold swimmer, to jump off in the midst of the sea, and rise again, and nod to me, and shout, and laughingly dash with your hair. Thank you. There. I think that was fitting. We followed the Whitman reading with Paganini's Moto Perpetuo, featuring Bella Fleck on banjo in what is labeled the bluegrass version. It captures the energetic excitement of the traveler jumping off in the midst of the sea, splashing in joy as the journey begins. As Whitman says, we have been dreaming contemptible dreams and only timidly waded on the shore. But it's Lent tomorrow. Let's wake up and take a plunge. Oh, and this hour-long journey you're on with me is from Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105, and I'm Robert Louis Abrahamson. But back to Moto Perpetuo, Perpetual Motion, which recalls the theme of our show, the perpetual journey that Whitman says we are all embarked on. In fact, this journey can often be what gives a shape to our lives, at least when we look back and notice that we have indeed traveled in what now appears to be a recognizable pattern, often a mythic pattern. Let's listen to the master of mythic patterns, Joseph Campbell, as he discusses this with Bill Moyer.
Now, there's a wonderful work of Schopenhauer's. He says, when you reach a certain age, and he wrote this when he was, say, in his 60s or so, and look back over your life, it seems to have had an order. It seems to have had been composed by someone. And those events that, when they occurred, seemed merely accidental and occasional and just something that happened, turn out to be the main elements in a consistent plot. So he says, who composed this plot? And he said, and just as your dreams are composed by an aspect of yourself of which your consciousness is unaware, so your whole life has been composed by the will within you. And then he says, just as those people whom you met by chance became effective agents in the structuring of your life, so you have been an agent in the structuring of other lives. And the whole thing gears together like one big symphony, he says, everything influencing and structuring everything else. And he said, it's as though our lives were the dream of a single dreamer in which all the dream characters are dreaming too. And so everything links to everything else, moved out of the will in nature. It's a beautiful idea. It's an idea that occurs in India in the image of what's called the net of Indra, or the net of gems. It's a net of gems where every gem reflects all the other ones. And they also have the idea of a spontaneous and simultaneous arising. Everything arises in relation to everything else, and so you can't blame anybody for anything. It's all working around. It's a marvelous idea. It's as though there were an intention behind it, and yet it all is by chance. None of us has lived the life that he intended.
And yet, we all have lived a life that had a purpose. Do you believe that?
I don't believe life has a real purpose. I mean, when you really see what life is, it's a lot of protoplasm with an urge to reproduce and continue in being.
Not true. That's not true.
Now, wait a minute. Just sheer life can't be said to have a purpose, because look at all the different purposes it has all over the lot. But each incarnation, you might say, has a potentiality. And the function of life is to live that for potentiality. Well, how do you do it? Well, again, when my students would ask, you know, should I do this? Should I do that? Dad says I should do this. And my answer is follow your bliss. Yeah. There's something inside you that knows you're in the center, that knows you're on the beam, that knows you're off the beam. And if you get off the beam to earn money, you've lost your life.
So it is not the destination that counts, it's the journey.
Yes. There's a wonderful old man, I think he's still alive in Germany, Graf Durkheim. And he says, when you're on a journey and the
end keeps getting further and further away, then you realize that the real end is the journey. It's not bad.
We followed Joseph Campbell with Jefferson Airplane's Embryonic Journey. And those of us who fed our heads over and over with this album, Surrealistic Pillow, cannot help hearing the bass and drums leading into the next track, White Rabbit. But even though Alice, chasing rabbits, called by a hookah-smoking caterpillar, is embarked on her own perpetual journey, well, we'll not hear the song tonight. But we'll pause to pay tribute to Jefferson Airplane founder and guitarist Paul Kantner, who died only a few weeks ago. Let's go back to these words Joseph Campbell was quoting from Arthur Schopenhauer, the German philosopher, who spoke about the way one person's journey weaves into another person's journey and on until we can see the cosmic web joining all people together. He said, just as those people whom you met by chance became effective agents in the structuring of your life, so you have been an agent in the structuring of other lives. Like one big symphony, everything influencing and structuring everything else. That's wonderful to think of. Not only because it's nice to think we exert some influence upon others' journeys, but also because there's nothing like keeping our eye on the one big symphony, everything influencing and structuring everything else, nothing like keeping our eye on this to elevate us out of the narrow, ego-centered perspective that we almost naturally slip into if we're not careful. But the patterns of the journeys, especially the pattern of our own journey, cannot be perceived at the time of journeying. We can see it only in retrospect, since, as Campbell says, none of us has lived the life that he intended. But then, what sort of guide can we follow? How do we know what to do in any given moment? Campbell repeats his famous advice, follow your bliss. The bliss is some presence within us, a delight even in painful moments, or as Campbell puts it, there's something inside you that knows you're in the center, that knows you're on the beam, that knows you're off the beam. When we're following our bliss, we are, Campbell assures us, fearless and desireless. We are in the moment, not worrying where we go next. We let go of our control in order to allow the dreamer who is weaving the web of all our journeys to take us where we are to go next. Any of us who has experienced these marvelous promptings seeming to come from from beyond our own intentions, we'll know the truth of this. Bill Moyer then comments, "So it's not the destination that counts, it's the journey." Yes, of course. So much for all this goal-oriented or success-oriented hype we're always being fed, which is only one step away from allowing the end to justify the means. And in any case, more often than not, these goals are illusory. Chimeras, Robert Louis Stevenson called them. That is, wild fancies of our imagination, like the mythical land of gold, El Dorado. We can't touch on this point without pausing for a moment to read the concluding paragraph of Stevenson's essay, El Dorado, which ends with perhaps Stevenson's most famous sentence. "A strange picture we make on our way to our chimeras, ceaselessly marching, grudging ourselves the time for rest. Indefatigable, adventurous pioneers. It is true that we shall never reach the goal. It is even more than probable that there is no such place. And if we lived for centuries and were endowed with the powers of a god, we should find ourselves not much nearer what we wanted in the end. O toiling hands of mortals, O unwearied feet, travelling you know not whither, soon, soon, it seems to you, you must come forth on some conspicuous hilltop, and but a little way further, against the setting sun, descry the spires of El Dorado. Little do you know your own blessedness, for to travel hopefully is a better thing than to arrive, and the true success is to labor."
Would you like to fly with me out across the evening sky? Leave a lonely vapor trail hanging there to say goodbye. To be free when you are traveling. Traveling. Who needs to be free when you are on the road like me? Spend your life in misery. Would you like to chains? So would you like to fly with me, even out the strain?
Isn't that nice? That was String Driven Thing, a Scottish group from the early 70s. This song, Travelling, was from the 1973 album The Machine That Cried. I see that Wikipedia says that, despite its cult status, the album did not sell well at the time. Well, I'm glad to say that I bought it then, and it's traveled with me ever since. But wait, are we always on this perpetual journey Whitman speaks of? You know that it often feels like we're not journeying at all, but just stuck in one place. There seems no point to what we're doing, no meaning, certainly no progress or change, no journey at all, so there. Yes, but these moments of inertia are indeed a necessary part of the journey. They're necessary for the transformation that our journey is all about. These are times when we are not actively doing, but perhaps just learning to let go. Perhaps we are letting go of all those accumulated bits in us that are blocking us from hearing the voice of our bliss. It's been a long time since I've played for us one of the tracks from my 2007 CD, Journey Through the Seasons, Meditations on the Five Chinese Healing Energies. On that CD, I traced a journey we all undergo, not once, but over and over, in the large movements of our lives and in the tiny ones. As we start off in autumn, aware of the grief of leaving the past behind as the trees are losing their leaves, and then come to the period of winter, dark, mysterious, frightening, a kind of mini-death, but like the seed in the ground, dying only so new life can come forth. In spring, this new life comes forth, full of energy, anger too, and then summer, that time of heat and love when everything flowers or flourishes. And finally, there's the season of harvest, when we rest in the abundance of what we have created as we prepare to start the cycle over again. It's winter time now. And so let's attend to the meditation on winter, that season when we are tempted to suppose our perpetual journey has come to a halt. We'll hear poetry by John Donne, Robert Frost, Emily Bronte, Ryokan, Rumi, our friend Walt Whitman, and Ryokan again. And the music is by Neil Henry. Winter. Before spring, we first face that long-expected winter. The leaves have all fallen. The world is dark and cold. All is frozen. No light. No warmth. 'Tis the year's midnight, and it is the day's. The sun is spent, and now his flasks send forth light squibs, no constant rays. The world's whole sap is sunk. The general balm the hydroptic earth hath drunk, whither, as to the bed's feet, life is shrunk, dead and interred. Colors have disappeared. All is merging to deep blue or blackness. The mystery of emptiness, of the unknown. The element is water, the feminine yin world of chaos, darkness, cold, wetness, confusion. The womb where new life waits, not yet born. The waters of pre-birth, touching us on all sides, but never solid, not allowing us to grasp any secure holds. We float as the waters move us, passive, submerged. The organs associated with this season are the kidneys, regulating the water in the body, storing our ancestral energy, holding what we have received from our parents until the time for these gifts to be born in our lives. This is a holding time, a time for storing up and waiting. Our only light is the magical feminine moon, casting uncertain shadows, pulling the waters that surround us here, controlling the tides, sweeping us out to sea, taking us we know not where. The negative emotion is fear. It's too dark to see. We have lost control.
only the fluid water and reflected moonlight, distorting everything. We understand nothing. We can make contact with nothing. No wonder we're afraid. Or a different kind of water. Snow. Colorless and obliterating everything. Threatening to smother all we know. Snow falling and night falling fast, oh fast, in a field I looked into going past. And the ground almost covered smooth in snow, but a few weeds and stubble showing last. The woods around it have it. It is theirs. All animals are smothered in their lairs. I am too absent-spirited to count. The loneliness includes me unawares. And lonely as it is, that loneliness will be more lonely ere it will be less. A blanker whiteness of benighted snow with no expression, nothing to express. They cannot scare me with their empty spaces between stars where no human race is. I have it in me so much nearer home to scare myself with my own desert places. If we open to this deep winter energy, fear can become transformed into its positive aspect of stillness, quiet acceptance, and openness. If we move at all, it is with that quiet gentleness we use when making our way across a furnished room in the dark. Sensitive, open, tentatively feeling our way, not rushing confidently through the room as we would in the light. We are listening, alert and still in a silent night, holy night, waiting for what will be revealed, mindful, attentive, not trying to comprehend, motionless in the midst of the emptiness. The night is darkening round me. The wild winds coldly blow. But a tyrant spell has bound me, and I cannot go. The giant trees are bending their bare boughs, weighed with snow. The storm is fast descending, and yet I cannot go. Clouds beyond clouds above me, wastes beyond wastes below. But nothing drear can move me. I will not, cannot go. That immobility, held fast by some tyrant spell, feels like all things conspire against us and keep us from moving on. But we do not give in to the despair. I will not, cannot go. I know it is the time for staying here, waiting in stillness and darkness for what will come next. The long winter night. The long winter night seems endless. When will it be day? No flame in the lamp or charcoal in the fireplace. Lying in bed, listening to the sound of the freezing rain. To an old man, dreams come easy. I let my thoughts drift. The room is empty, and both the sake and the oil are used up. The long winter night. This long night of our dying is necessary preparation. Inside this new love, die. Your way begins on the other side. We hold on, knowing that we do not know what comes next, only that something comes next. All goes onward and outward, and nothing collapses, and to die is different from what anyone supposed, and luckier. And then the growing anticipation. My heart beats faster and faster, and I cannot sleep. Tomorrow will be the first day of spring.
That was the winter meditation from my CD Journeys Through the Season, Meditations on the Five Chinese Healing Energies. If you'd like to know more about the CD or even purchase one of the few remaining copies, which come with a nice booklet discussing the ideas in the poetry, get in touch with me at rla@momentsunderlamplight.co.uk or lamplight@cambridge105.fm. And take a look at our renovated website, momentsunderlamplight.co.uk. The RSS feed is back in operation, so you can have the shows automatically delivered to your iTunes or whatever as soon as I put the archives up on the website. I think what you do is go to momentsunderlamplight.co.uk/RSS and the connection will be made. And meanwhile, nothing more remains but for me to remind you that this is Robert Louis Abrahamson bringing you Evening Under Lamplight on community radio in your city, Cambridge 105. And we'll be back in a fortnight with more, to be sure. I don't know where we'll go on next on our journey through Whitman's Song of Myself, but join us again to find out. It's always a fresh journey of discovery.